from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up.
But I swear today, under oath, before the Senate and the nation, before my family and God, I am innocent of this charge.
An unbelievable, gut-wrenching day on Capitol Hill today as the partisan divide of the nation was in full display as the hearing with Judge Brett Kavanaugh and his accuser, Dr. Christine Blasey Ford, continues before the Senate Judiciary Committee this very hour. What will be the verdict? We'll talk about it with Ken Kukowski of First Liberty. And overshadowed by the drama on Capitol Hill, President Trump challenged the Chinese over attempts to interfere with the midterm elections and their unfair trade practices that have hurt U.S. workers and impacted our economy. So-called foreign policy experts have expressed shock at the president's directness, saying it could hurt diplomatic relations with China. Asian expert Gordon Chang joins me for that discussion. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. And let me encourage you to download the app. That is the Stand Firm app. Go to TonyPerkins.com. Follow links over. Just go to the App Store, Stand Firm. And also, let me challenge you, if you didn't know it was necessary before today, if you watched or heard anything that took place on Capitol Hill today, you know you need to take the pledge. The pledge to pray, to vote, and to stand. Our nation is divided like never before. This is not a time to be a spectator. Our republic hangs in the balance. Well, earlier today, Dr. Christine Blasey Ford testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee. And right now, actually, as we speak, the testimony and questioning of Judge Kavanaugh continues. His opening remarks earlier today were this.
This confirmation process has become a national disgrace. The Constitution gives the Senate an important role in the confirmation process, but you have replaced advice and consent with search and destroy.
Very direct, very confrontational, but I believe just what was needed. Joining me now to talk about it, Ken Kukowski, one of our frequent guests on our Constitution Tuesday, national best-selling author and a Washington, D.C.-based legal analyst and policy consultant specializing in the Constitution. Ken, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
All right. We saw a side today, or we're seeing it actually right now, but most of the folks listening probably are just on their way home from work and may only have caught snippets of today's hearing. But we saw a side of Judge Kavanaugh today that we've not seen before. He is obviously a fighter, but defending his integrity and reputation, he came out of the gate swinging back at the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Well, that's absolutely right, Tony. I think what we've seen here is righteous indignation. A man who has spent a lifetime building his character, living with integrity. It is the unbroken and unblemished testimony of the people who have worked with him all through his life. And now he stands accused of some of the most salacious, sordid, humiliating sounding sexual crimes and antics imaginable. The sort of thing that people feel uncomfortable even discussing in conversation. And you see there, I think, not just a man, but a husband and a father who is outraged at being accused of having done such things.
Ken is on a cell phone, so he's going to fade in and out because his hearing is still going on. We're trying to get the latest. Ken, can you hear me? We may have lost him. I've got some of the clips in a moment. I hope to play for you. Senator Lindsey Graham, moments ago, took the committee to task too, and the hearing is now breaking. They're going into recess. Lindsey Graham, who was on the program Tuesday and was fired up, He is, you know, he's a moderate by most descriptions, and he works for both sides of the aisle. I like him because he's very knowledgeable, and I like to have him on the program. I don't agree with him on everything, but I agree with him a lot. But today, I think he was at his best when he took his Democratic colleagues to task on the committee for the games that they've been playing. And the timeline was laid out in his questioning. He asked, you know, that on August the 20th, when he met with Senator Dianne Feinstein, whether or not he had been asked about this incident. And she and her staff had had this letter since July and had been sitting on it. No request for this now FBI investigation that they want, which is really all a smokescreen. All right, that means nothing. And I think that's been laid out here, what an FBI investigation is. They just ask questions. They get the facts. They write a report, and they submit it to the Senate. They don't make the value judgments. They don't say, all right, witness A said this, witness B said this, and so therefore you're not qualified to be on the court. The FBI doesn't say that. The FBI just gathers the facts. They write the reports, and they submit it to the Senate. The Senate Democrats think that they are, and they might be, hoodwinking the American people with this claim. In fact, Durbin, just moments ago, was drilling Kavanaugh, saying, will you agree to an FBI investigation? Do you want an FBI investigation? He said, whatever the committee wants, I'll go along with. That's all about delay. And Lindsey Graham hit this right on the head. This is about delaying so that it goes past the election, and they're hoping, against hope, they being the Democrats, that they will win control of the Senate and they can block the president from putting a strict constructionist onto the court. That's what this is about. And Lindsey Graham, to his credit, brought that front and center just moments ago in the committee hearing. I think we have Ken back on. Ken, you back on?
Yes, sorry about the technical difficulties on my end. I agree with everything that you were just saying, and I think this may be the finest I have ever seen from Senator Lindsey Graham, and coming right on his heels, Senator John Cornyn, who said that not only is this a disgrace, but it's the most disgraceful thing of this nature that his body, the U.S. Senate, has done since the McCarthy hearings of the 1950s. I mean, there is just flat-out outrage among, I think, not just some Republican senators, but I think an increasing portion of the American people. And I think Senate Democrats are going to pay a price for this on November 6th.
Well, let me put on my partisan hat for a moment, although I'm not advocating for an election one way or the other, a particular election. I hope they do pay a price. I hope those who are willing to run someone's reputation through the mud for their political purposes do pay a price. And I think that I hope the American people see this with him focusing on the yearbook and what was written in the yearbook. It almost made me want to go back and look at my yearbook and see what all was written in my yearbook. I mean, it's crazy that it has come to this point. Now, Ken, before we run out of time, I want to go back. Earlier today, Dr. Christine Blasey Ford testified. And I will say this. I think she was a very credible witness. All right. I think she handled herself very well. It's an emotional subject. Obviously, the Democrats putting up a lot of softballs and helping, which is kind of what this process has been, very partisan. But I think that credibility now is, with the forcefulness of Judge Kavanaugh, is kind of fading away.
Well, I think two things to say about Dr. Ford, Tony. One is that she certainly sounded sincere in what she was saying, but it's possible here that she is just sincerely wrong, that clearly, or at least I can't say clearly, but a lot of people believe, and it makes sense to me, that she seemed to have gone through some sort of traumatic experience in her teenage years. But you hear Brett Kavanaugh's denials, and I think a lot of people will be inclined to agree that that whatever happened to her, he was not the person involved in doing it. And I'll add one other point about her, and that's what another thing Lindsey Graham said. When he said Christine Ford came to you, the Democrats, came to you confidentially, came to Dianne Feinstein confidentially. Dianne Feinstein is the one who connected Ford with this left-wing Democrat activist lawyer, Deborah Katz, right, in her law firm, and that they have conspired together to force that woman, Christine Ford, out into the national spotlight against her wishes. And they, as Lindsey Graham said, she is a victim just like Brett Kavanaugh is, mm-hmm, here. They are being used as pawns in a hyper-partisan quest for political power.
But that's nothing new for the liberals in this country. They use men, women, and children especially day in and day out as political pawns for their purposes.
It may be nothing new, but it has hit a new low in our nation's lives.
I mean, I one of the touching moments was when, I think, hold on a second, I think we may have the... Graham, Bobby, as soon as we get that Graham soundbite, if you let me know. One of the touching moments is when, in his opening statement, he talked about his 10-year-old daughter praying for Dr. Ford, praying for the woman. That tells you a lot of what happens in that family and how they're dealing with this, that they're praying. But I do think, I go back, I think he came in, as you described it, with righteous indignation. I think it was appropriate. I think he hit the right tone. And I'm wondering, as Lindsey Graham challenged these Democratic senators and his Republicans, that if they voted against this, they're essentially siding with these baseless allegations. What impact do you think this hearing has on the Republican members of the committee?
Well, I would think that, first of all, the parents, you talk about his daughters here. I mean, can you imagine having young children having to hear these things said about your father? I mean, I would expect that millions of Americans who are tuning into this are outraged. And I think the Senate Republicans, I think, are going to be in fine shape. But I have to tell you, Senate Democrats, I mean, if I'm Mike Braun in Indiana or Rick Scott in Florida or Kevin Cramer in North Dakota, or if I'm Pat Morrissey in West Virginia, I mean, we could go through the states. I mean, Montana, Josh Hawley in Missouri. I mean, I would be pressing those Democratic senators hard with these sound clips right now and demanding a reaction, because I think the good people in those states are going to be every bit as enraged as you heard Lindsey Graham, John Cornyn, and a number of other Senate Republicans be today.
My only concern is that you have some Republican senators like Jeff Flake, Lisa Murkowski, that could go wobbly. And if they do, the other Republican senators will pay a price for that. Ken Kukowski, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much, Tony.
Always great to talk with you. All right, folks, there's a break, recess at the hearing where Judge Kavanaugh is appearing this afternoon. We're going to continue our conversation regarding this, and we're going to be talking about China. The president's comments to China about meddling in our midterm election, kind of overshadowed by all this Kavanaugh stuff. We're going to talk with Gordon Chang coming up here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. More to come on the other side of the break.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for his kingdom. go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Let me challenge you again with things unfolding today. I've never seen anything like this. And I recall the, you know, I wasn't in politics, but I recall the days of the Clarence Thomas confirmation hearings, Judge Bork. You know, as I watched those from afar, but not, you know, close up like this as I have in the last 15 years. But this, what we see here is a clearly divided nation. But we see people, and I'm going to be very clear, that the liberals, the Democrats, who are doing everything possible to try to delay this nomination so that they can secure, or they think they can take the Senate. I'm not sure what polling they're looking at, but I think they're throwing deep, hoping that they will, so they can block President Trump from putting a strict constructionist on the court, which would deprive them of their ability to impose their agenda on America. But Judge Kavanaugh, in his opening comments, within the first minute or so, made a statement, quoting scripture, essentially, that saying that the senators have sown to the wind, and as a nation, we're going to reap the whirlwind. And I think that's true. I think this does immense damage to our process of government, selection of the court, selection for members of the court, and the whole thing. It just undermines the integrity by the way the Senate Democrats launched this attack to try to keep Brett Kavanaugh from the court. It didn't matter who it was. They would have done it to anybody. To deprive the president from being able to put a strict constructionist on the court. But here, I said earlier, we had a Lindsey Graham, probably 30 minutes ago, made this statement. I've never seen him so animated. Here's the clip from Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina just moments ago on the committee.
I would never do to them what you've done to this guy. This is the most unethical sham since I've been in politics. And if you really wanted to know this guy, are you a gang rapist?
No.
he was making reference to...
I cannot imagine what you and your family have gone through. Boy, y'all want power. God, I hope you never get it. I hope the American people can see through this sham, that you knew about it and you held it.
He was making reference to Kagan and Sotomayor, both appointed by President Obama, liberals with a liberal orientation, you know, a view of the Constitution as a living, breathing document that they can treat like silly putty and craft it into anything that they want. But he said he voted for them because they were qualified. Now, I don't know that I agreed with him on that point, but he did, and he's made that point. He said it on this program. If they are qualified judicially, I don't agree with him on that. I'm just saying this is what he said. And so he voted for him. And he said, this man is qualified. And he went through a litany of qualifications, the ABA rating, and everything else. And he called them out. And I give him credit for doing that, calling them out, for using this as a political tool to try to retain or gain control of the court. And this is the politicization that has taken place over our courts. And it's not going to change. It's not going to change until we are able to get strict constructionists back onto the court again and court get out of the legislating business. And that's what this battle is all about. They do not want the court to operate within the boundaries of the Constitution and, as we've said before, call balls and strikes. They want to be able to use the bench to craft all kinds of liberal social policies that can never, or I shouldn't say never, but are unlikely to pass through a legislative body because the people are against it, and they will hold their elected representatives accountable for passing such legislation. So they go to the courts, and they get the courts to do their dirty work. And then even some of them, either they're silent or they just go, oh, the courts, the courts, the courts, while all the way they're, you know, smiling inside, knowing that the court did their dirty work. So what they have to do is they have to keep the court. And that's what you see playing out for before you right now. So, as I was saying, if there was ever a time we need to be praying, we need to be voting, and we need to be standing for biblical truth, it is now. Just think what would happen, and I say this with reverence, God forbid, but what if the liberals were to take control of the Senate? Think about that for a moment. Think about what Barack Obama was doing before. Think about the change that has taken place in the last 20 months, last 18 months, in terms of the policies that have been put forth in this nation. A sea change, night and day. And a lot to be done. It's not perfect by any means. But all of that hangs in the balance. And this court case, or this battle for the court, is really the tip of the spear. It is significant in so many ways, but it's also emblematic of the battle that is raging right now for the heart and soul of this nation. And there is, in our republic, there is no room for spectators. Be a participant. Help save the republic. Take the pledge to pray, to vote, and to stand, no matter how strong the opposition might be. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Gordon Chang is going to join us. Yesterday, the president was up in New York, actually was up there for a couple of days, spoke to the General Assembly, and then yesterday General Boykin, but he chaired the Security Council meeting. And what was amazing, he called the Chinese out for their unfair trade practices, but also for meddling in our midterm elections coming up in November. Several foreign policy experts say he is hurting America's diplomatic ability to get along with China. Is that true? Gordon Chang joins me next after the break. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come in just a moment.
Out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. You can download the app there, or you can also, and I should say not, or also you can take the pledge to pray, to vote, and to stand. All right. Yesterday, President Trump chaired the meeting of the United Nations Security Council. And in that meeting, I mean, it's amazing. We were talking about how direct he is. He charged the Chinese with meddling in the U.S. midterm elections. Here's what he had to say.
Regrettably, we found that China has been attempting to interfere in our upcoming 2018 election coming up in November. Against my administration. They do not want me or us to win because I am the first president ever to challenge China on trade.
With us now is Gordon Chang, Southeast Asia expert and author of The Coming Collapse of China. Gordon, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Oh, thank you so much, Tom.
All right, what do you make of the president's statements yesterday?
Well, he's certainly correct. The Chinese have been trying to influence the results of the 2018 midterms. So, for instance, last Sunday, they took out a four-page advertisement in the Des Moines Register. On September 16th, they held a meeting in Beijing where they had summoned Wall Street executives to talk about the tariffs. Wang Yi, the foreign minister of China, sat down with Henry Kissinger, and those results of the discussions were broadcast broadly. And also, of course, the tariffs that China has imposed in retaliation for America's tariffs, those have been directed at President Trump's political base. So it's clear that the Chinese have tried to influence the 2018 elections.
I mean, there's so many foreign experts and, quote unquote, diplomats expressing shock that they're saying there's no evidence of this, and then saying, you know, the president being so blunt and direct could harm diplomatic relations with China. What do you say?
Well, certainly you can't harm relations with China because China right now is in the point of throwing a number of tantrums at the United States. And so, you know, Beijing has basically made a decision that it wanted to, on its own, take down relations. Got to remember that President Trump, he may not have been the first to challenge China on trade, but he's the first to effectively challenge the Chinese on trade. And so this is absolutely essential, Tony, because the Chinese have been stealing hundreds of billions of dollars of U.S. intellectual property every year. And the president's tariffs are meant to be a remedy for that theft and forced taking of U.S. IP. We've got to do something. And so, yes, the relations with China are going to get awful. They're going to get ugly. This could last not only years but decades. But President Trump absolutely has to do this. And the one thing, whatever one says about President Trump's tactics, and there's a lot of discussion there, but whatever one says about it, it's absolutely essential that an American president do this. And previous presidents, Republicans and Democrats, haven't. So this is good news for the United States.
Well, let me ask you that, Gordon. What have we accomplished when it comes to our trade policy, diplomatic relations with China by being nice?
Very little. You know, what we've had is 4 decades, going back to the Nixon administration, of trying to engage the Chinese, bring them into the international system. The results of that have been particularly unspectacular. They've been pretty awful, as we've seen in the 5 years of Xi Jinping as China's general secretary and president. So this is going in a very bad direction. So clearly the United States had to do something. And so our engagement policies have actually, I think, encouraged and emboldened the worst aspects in the Chinese political system by legitimizing them. And we just need to change course. So I'm glad that President Trump has actually, on a broad array of issues, taken it to Beijing.
I mean, personally, and I think that that stage that he chose yesterday, the United Nations, when all of these other peer countries were there, I mean, he didn't mince words. He to quote from what he said yesterday, that the Chinese have engaged in relentless product dumping, forced technology transfer, and the theft of intellectual property. He said the United States lost over 3 million manufacturing jobs, nearly a quarter of all steel jobs, and 60,000 factories after China joined the World Trade Organization. He did not mince words.
No, and he shouldn't. You know, that's what the Chinese are doing, and there's a whole bunch of things. But the one thing that, you know, we focus on are these tariffs. We got to remember that the U.S. increasingly has an innovation-based economy. Today, about one-third of the S&P, Standard & Poor's 500, is derived from companies in the tech area. That number is going to go up to about 40% in a half decade or so. And that means if we cannot commercialize our innovation, Tony, we don't have very much of an economy. And that's why it's absolutely essential that we challenge the Chinese on this forced taking and theft. Because that forced taking and theft, when you look at the USTR's trade report and the Commission on Theft of U.S. Intellectual Property, that's hundreds of billions of dollars a year that we lose. That's just grievous.
Gordon, we're at a break, but quickly, who blinks first here?
The Chinese do, because I don't think President Trump is in any mood to cave in.
All right, Gordon Chang, as always, great to have you on the program. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Gordon Chang, he knows the stuff. I like to have him on. All right, I mean, look, somebody fighting for America, America first, what a novel idea. And guess what? The entire world benefits when America's strong. It really does. All right, when we come back, we're going to go to the phone lines. We're going to continue our conversation about Judge Brett Kavanaugh next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen. Sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for his kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along on this Thursday afternoon. All right, the hearing on Capitol Hill still going on. It's they're out of recess, back into the committee, and Judge Kavanaugh answering questions again before the Senate Judiciary Committee. All right, phone number 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. We've obviously, this has been a topic all week long, Judge Brett Kavanaugh. Of course, today, with the hearing going on, a little more insight. Maybe you saw parts of the hearing, watched it, maybe you heard it, heard clips. You know, right now, when this wraps up today, their plan is to move forward with a vote. And so I still put the same question out there. What would you like to see Republicans do at this point? Razor-thin majority in the Senate, but as we've talked about, what's at stake here and why this is all playing out. 866-372-7234, and we're going to go to Don in Tennessee. Don, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. I just have a quick comment. You know, I've heard the Democrats say this. They take back the Senate and the House, that even if Judge Kavanaugh is confirmed, that they're going to still go after him and impeach him. Well, what's to keep him from going after other conservative judges that's already on the bench? You know, Justice Alito and Justice Gorsuch. You know, they can bring up some old Trump's charges against them and go after them.
I think they don't give him any ideas. I think they'd love to do that. I think part of that is, you know, they're threatening. They want to show that they can gum up the whole process. But to your point, I don't think there's any limit to which they will go. Because, again, let me emphasize what's at stake for them. It's their ability to impose these crazy policies that they've been able to do for the last 50 years almost on the nation. And they're going to lose, actually more than 50 years, they're going to lose that ability. And because this trend, if Trump is able to get Judge Kavanaugh through a strict constructionist who by all measures is qualified, and there's another vacancy because you've got some folks on the court that are kind of getting up there, that would clearly shift the balance of the court. And so they're going to fight with everything they have. Don, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate you listening. Let's go to Lydia in Kansas. Lydia, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. I was just calling to say that, you know, I hate to say anybody who claims that they've been molested or anything is lying, although I don't believe it. But even if Judge Kavanaugh did these things way back in his past, the same thing goes with this situation, as everybody kept saying about Trump's past when Christians voted for him. Christians don't always, we're not perfect, and we know that about each other. But what makes us like Christ is that we know that Christ can forgive our past. So even if Judge Kavanaugh did that, which I don't believe he did, he's a good man now. If he did that, he's changed his life, and he deserves a second chance. We all have a second chance through Christ.
No question. That is true. And if there was, but I think that's conceding a point which Judge Kavanaugh is not willing to concede, and that is that any of this stuff happened.
Well, that's true.
I mean, he...
Yes, and I don't believe he did.
Yeah. But I agree with your point. I think there's always there can be a turning point. I think someone can clearly point to that. And as Christians, we look to that for that transformation of one's life. We look at that point. It's kind of a BC moment that was before Christ and after Christ, after that transformation.
Exactly.
You look for the fruit of that. But as we discussed yesterday, there is some expectation, although not, I think we give a little too much room there, because I don't think kids have to do crazy stuff. I mean, but there's some expectation in our society that we allow them to do stuff. Now, I don't necessarily agree with that, because I think there's a limit, but they do display poor judgment.
But I believe the Bible talks about leaders being held to a higher standard, and I agree with that, but there are no perfect leaders. I mean, just look at the leaders in the Bible. Some of them were, well, all of them, they were all sinners. So I do believe in second chances.
Right. But by all accounts, other than these unsubstantiated last-minute allegations that have come forth, everything about his life has been consistent with the man that the public has seen. And so that raises...
Correct. I agree.
It raises a lot of questions. And again, I point to the process, which has been laid out very clearly today, how this was set on by Dianne Feinstein, released without Dr. Ford's permission the day before the vote was to take place. If they were truly, truly, truly concerned about justice, they would have pursued this long before when they first got it and not waited to use it as a wrecking ball on the confirmation process. Lydia, thanks so much for the call. Points well taken. Let's go to Pete in South Carolina. Pete, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks, and great show. Several points, and I'll try to make them quickly. But I listened to Kavanaugh's opening comments and a few of the questions. He is so honest. There's just no mistaking it. And I don't believe for a second any of these allegations are true, not for a second. And then there's so many points you can make that, like you said, like Feinstein had this information back in July. I think they were orchestrating this months prior to even that. And we've seen this movie before. We saw it with Roy Moore. We saw it with Clarence Thomas. I remember listening to the Clarence Thomas hearings back when it happened. It was 91, I think it was. And it was Anita Hill. And you know, what's at risk here is a couple of things, and Kavanaugh brought up, and so did Brian Fisher, I think, Jan Mefford and Sandy brought up also, that what will happen, the collateral damage is that good quality people will hesitate to accept a nomination or to run for office because they know that if they did anything in the past at all, it'll be brought up. They'll be smeared with fake, phony allegations. So we'll end up with the good people won't even go for the jobs that are important that to be held by good people. We'll get the mediocre, you know, low-quality people, such as we have now throughout government, and we'll get those people. And, you know, when the presumption of innocence is lost in America, we are all at risk, all of us. You can only imagine if the Democrats, if Hillary had won, if this is the way high-caliber people are treated, what do you think our chances would be like? We wouldn't even stand a snowball chance, you know where. We would not have equal justice. Yeah.
Yeah, Pete, all very good points. And I think it's interesting because conservatives, generally speaking, are concerned about their reputation. And they have lived a life to preserve and protect their integrity. Doesn't mean they're perfect. Doesn't mean that they you know, may stumble. But Proverbs says a righteous man falls seven times, but he gets back up. Doesn't stay there and call it a lifestyle. You see, on the other side of the aisle, there is really no standard. They don't really care. But and so they're not worried about what people say about them. They just go on. And I think you're right. I think it will prevent. It already has. It's kept good people out of government, out of public service, because of manufactured attacks on the character of people. So, you know what? I've worked too hard and too long to build this reputation, and I'm not going to see it destroyed by people who are just out for political power. So, Pete, that is part of the collateral damage here. And that's why I say that as he said in his opening remarks, they've sown to the wind. But we're going to reap the whirlwind, and I think that's a part of it. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Helen in Missouri. Helen, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Thank you for taking my call. I was listening to her testimony, and in her statement, she said she was 100% sure that it was Brett Kavanaugh that assaulted her and was on top of her. But then in another statement, when she was being cross-examined, she said, I was beneath one of them. So that told me there was a discrepancy right there, that she had no idea who was in that room. And when she took her lie detector test, she had just came from her grandmother's funeral, which made her probably distressed anyway, was probably why she passed the test. I don't know. That's my view about it.
Well, thanks, Eve. Appreciate Helen, I'm sorry. Appreciate the call, Helen. I mean, it comes down to he said, she said. And I've thought about this because I do think that she... And I picked up on a couple of things, but it was 36 years ago. And I'm thinking, you know, I know that when you go through a traumatic experience, you remember details that other people don't. So I understand that she obviously has gone through something. But you have Judge Brett Kavanaugh, who didn't hesitate. He didn't equivocate. He wasn't mediocre in his denial. He was unequivocal in his denial. He was forceful in his denial. He did not look like, to me, someone who was lying. And he's gone through, you know, six FBI background checks. He was kind of the right-hand man to President Bush. I mean, he's been at all these different, and been on the court for 12 years. He's been in these key roles. And we've never heard or seen anything that would suggest that this type of behavior or not just this type of behavior, but dishonest behavior, nothing had ever surfaced. So you're left then between an allegation from a witness we know really nothing about. We know nothing about her, other than what we've just read in the last maybe week in the press. And that leaves a lot of questions. But here we have another guy on the other side of the table who we know a lot about. And we've read a lot about it. And it's not just anecdotal. It is qualified review FBI background checks. So if you got two people saying two different things, who are you going to believe? And that's essentially what it comes down to for these senators. Who are they going to believe? Now, political pressure would say, well, they've got to, you know, this is the hashtag Me Too environment where, you know, every man is guilty because their men are horrible. And, you know, I'll be attacked if I don't side with the woman. I'm just being very candid. That is what is going through the minds of many senators right now. But if you were to look at this analytically, as I just did, there's no other way to come down at this point in time with the information that we have than to side with Judge Brett Kavanaugh. It's my view. All right, let's go to Eva now in Texas. Eva, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much, Tony. Just real brief, if this was a regular court of law, it would have never made it to trial. This is a witch hunt. I think it is absolutely disgraceful what they're doing to this man and to his family. You do not show up 35 years later and all of a sudden come up with charges that you cannot even have any kind of proof. So if they can do this to him, we as citizens should really consider what happens if this actually flies. That can happen to anybody. Our law, our constitution, everything goes out the window because it becomes subjective and to the people that are in power. So if I no longer have to provide any proof with an accusation, then we become no different than a third world country where a dictator rules it. So I think that the people we elected as Republicans, we have a lot of guys that ride the fence. They need to do what they were elected for. If they care about this country one shred and if they have any kind of integrity, they need to confirm this man and we need to get back to business to the president that we elected. And if they don't, then we probably will not get another chance.
Well said, Eva. I can't elaborate on that, or I don't need to, I should say. All right, very quickly, Lisa in Texas, 30 seconds.
I'm sorry, Tony. It's just taken me a long time before I was able to call. This is about Dr. Ford and her testimony. And I think she was coached because I'm an actor, and that's how easy it is to fool a bunch of guys.
Well, you got me fooled.
Sorry. And it wasn't even a good acting coach. It was like the Aaron Spelling School of Acting or something. I don't know.
Well, Lisa, thanks for the call. I get your point. I'm not going to dismiss the fact that something may have happened to her. And I'm not going to, and I know, Lisa, you weren't doing this, but I'm not going to, I know I've dealt with it. As a pastor, as a police officer, I've dealt with the sexual assault cases and the trauma that is associated with it. Is that being channeled some way toward Brett Kavanaugh? Is she being used by the left? I think it's possible. But based on what we know and what we have, as Eva said, I think these senators have a responsibility to move this nomination forward. All right, folks, out of time. Thanks for all the calls. Sorry I didn't get to the rest of the calls. Wow, what a week. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, and by the way, take the pledge to pray, to vote, and to stand.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.